Okay. Hey, this is Joe Stumpler with Michelle Zwicker, and welcome to the Conversational Breakthrough Podcast. And today we got a really exciting topic. It's all about what it means to be the next highest version of yourself. So what do you envision in your life as a result of the changes you want to make? And that's the question, Michelle, that you know we like to ask people is, can you even get a vision of the life that you'd like to have? And what are the things that have to change in order for you to make that life come true? Well, in your experience, you know, from coaching hundreds of people and really helping people move into the next highest version of themselves, what the magic really is?
Well, firstly, it's entering that conversation with a wholehearted intention to shift. I think most of us live in a very day-to-day reality, just sort of getting by and repeating loops, conscious loops of behavior and thoughts and beliefs.
Seems that way, like there's a lot of old, predictable patterns that we have that show up, and we've noticed mostly in relationships, with, you know, our parents and our partners and our children, the people we love. And no matter how hard we try, we always kind of find ourselves doing the same thing over again, you know, wondering, wow, here I am again. Same pattern, different person.
And what I love about our conversation around the next highest version, and, you know, that's air quotes around next, mm-hmm. and you and I have, you know, had this conversation in so many delicious ways, is that it's not about going from living inside an unconscious pattern to being the best version of yourself ever and until the end of time. It's right. about just, you know, I think you and I talked about just driving around that mountain, you know, making a loop around the mountain and raising gradually up in elevation so that you can have more awareness, and with more awareness, there's more choice. And with more choice, there is gradual degrees of change, lasting change.
What might be fun is to kind of talk about what we've learned, how the pattern gets developed, how it gets reinforced, and then what are some of the points that we get to in life that says, okay, enough is enough. Like there has to be a place where we go, you know, I want to make some serious changes.
Yeah.
So let's interview each other on that and see what we can come up with.
Well, I would love to start with you because I know you've done a lot of personal studying, research, work on really looking at these patterns that get established early on in life. I've learned a lot from you about that.
Well, thank you. Those who teach usually have to learn what they teach. You know, that's why they teach it. And so, you know, thank God I had two amazing advanced teachers that came here to, you know, give me some real deep work to do, like mom and dad. And, you know, they
called
they
mom and dad.
Exactly. And, you know, we all think we have the most dysfunctional parents, you know, at one point in our childhood. You know, we think that they're the worst there could ever be. And my mom and dad did the best they could do, and they had some serious stuff going on. You know, dad was absent. He was a player. He was not a guy with a lot of integrity, not a lot of character, funny, not abusive, but not authentic and not real deep. And mom was a fall down drunk who started drinking on Thursday night and would drink all the way through until Monday. And that was my whole childhood. And so I look at these two people, they came together perfectly, you know, their patterns matched up perfectly. They, you know, marrying each other and then having a bunch of kids and then, you know, just passing the patterns on unconsciously, you know, not deliberately like, okay, I'm going to mess my kid up, but mm-hmm. you know, the level of my awareness is such that you're just, you know, in the midst of life, you just pick up what your parents have. And, And so, you know, like, now that's my story, and everyone has a different story. And my story isn't any worse than anybody else's or any better than anybody else's. It's just my story that gave me my patterns that I have had to work on. And like you said, Michelle, I had to do a lot of work on it because it was depressing, and I became an alcoholic, and I drank a lot, and I abused a lot, and I became a lot like my father, suffered the consequences of that. And then at a certain point, you know, it ran out of steam, and I had to start to make some changes. And I continue to do that work, continue to do that, make those changes. But there's still that entry point for all of us. And I know that you've had, talk a little bit about your experience, like where you're coming from and how you started to evolve into this current version of yourself.
This is what's really, it was very relevant to me when you clearly delineated the impact of our dynamics with our mother and father and our family of origin between particular ages, you know, 0 to 13, I think. Did I get that range right?
Because that's the most formidable years. That's when the brain is developing, the neural connections are happening. It's when we're actually developing that what is called is the mirror neuron. And the mirror neuron is that neuron that is, you're just actually reflecting back what your environment is giving you. If you look at a baby in the crib, just try this one day and stick your tongue out, you'll watch the baby stick their tongue out. And that's the mirror neuron. It's just, it's learning to model the world, you know, and it starts at a very early age. And if it starts to feel the issue of disconnected, not loved, and now we all have these, and we interpret it differently, but for a baby who is left in a crib screaming for hours, will really feel, and they will mirror back to the world that they are not loved. They will not get the love, the nurturing, that. And then as you grow older, you know, that's your reflection back to the world. It's like that is how the world is. And you've heard that notion that, you know, we grow up and either we have a condition that the world is a friendly place for the world is a difficult, hard place. And it's like, which lens are we seeing through? And most of us grow up with some sort of dysfunction. My friend Milton used to say, we spend the second 40 years of our life getting over the first 4. And if we don't, you know, we carry it right to our death.
Well, so to answer your question more directly, you know, my family of origin was, my mother was funny and fairly engaged. However, both my older sister and younger sister were very sick from the time they were born. So my older sister, my mother's first daughter, was completely overwhelming. And I think she was just maxed out, you know. And 3.5 years later, I came. And I think it was a great relief to her that I was healthy and could kind of take care of myself. And I don't feel like I was terribly, like I wasn't abused, but I do feel like it was, I made it my job to require very little from anybody, because then my younger sister came and also very sick. So asthmatic, in and out of emergency rooms, and just required a lot of her attention. So I learned some of my detachment behavior, which, you know, there's healthy aspects to it and unhealthy aspects to it, from that dynamic. And made some big decisions about who I am and who I'm not, and you know, how to create my own special space in the world. I disconnected from the family because particularly my older sister's sickness, so I wanted to kind of keep my distance. And so I really formed my life outside socially with my friends. They became like the bigger part of my world. And I have like kind of a vague memory of my family, I think, because of that choice that I made. And then my relationship with my father, my stepfather really became the primary man in my life from about 5 years old on. And I always felt his distance. He was not, it's like he decided that he would be there and he'd be generous and kind, but not really responsible. So he's also sort of a distant person. And I never really formed a real positive, healthy attachment to a father figure in those formative years, which I feel really later showed up inside of all my romantic partnerships. And that's probably where my big curiosity came from in terms of my personal growth, when I started to feel that difficulty of that connection.
Yeah, well said. And so, and as you listen to Michelle talk, you can hear her speak as a witness of it, like standing outside of it, describing it as a movie. And I can always hear people who have done the work that they are now looking at it as, okay, this is the gift I was given, that, or the puzzle that I have to put together, or the issue I have to resolve, versus the, I am this, like I am, you know, a dysfunction, as opposed to, well, this is what I was dealt with, and it's been a journey, not complaining about it. This is, we're not making it anybody wrong, not making mother wrong, not making your father wrong. And that's where we can always see, when we're doing work, when people come up to Compassion Ranch and we're doing work, we're always watching is, when do they let go of the blame? And
yeah,
the anger, you know, when do they let go of the blaming mother? God, I swell up when I think of the people who have come up here and worked with us, and watching them let go of that energy, that bond, that, and then that's like, okay, now the work can begin, because you've like the energy between you and your mother, you've cut that cord. It wasn't her. It was just this gift she gave you, and you're like giving it back now, or you don't want to open it anymore. You don't want to play with it anymore. So,
yeah. You know, I remember when you and I first did the Next Highest Version work, when I went through it as a student of the work that you started several years ago. Yeah. It was such an important distinction for me to look at it as the mother pattern, not the mother, and the father pattern, not the father. It really liberated me to just see the life limitations because of that dynamic, not because anybody did anything malicious, because it was honestly difficult for me to relate to maliciousness. You know, I had become a protector of them, and that was part of my childhood story. I protected the family, and I certainly wasn't going to be free to do my own personal work if I was busy protecting them, you know, from the rage I needed to feel, right? So it was very liberating to really create that distinction. It's the dynamic, the pattern created. It was the pattern, well, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I love that.
You got it. What I love what you said is the awareness that, call it mom's pattern, and I would call it Joanne's pattern. I try to get the word mom off of it, you know, because mom is so charged. You know, my dad's name was Joe too, so it was Joe and Joanne's pattern. Disassociate from it, and you being the protector of the family, because we see that so many times. People come in and they'll say, I'm not going to go after my mom and dad. They didn't do anything wrong. I love them dearly. You know, like they're protecting their parents, and it's not about their parents. Remember how that happened just at the last workshop? Oh, no, no, I don't want to really do it. I don't want to really dive into my mom or dad.
And that's
that same part of you that you're talking about. Like, I don't really want to go after them. And that's the truth. Nobody does. Well, maybe some of us do, but, you know, that love and that respect, your parents, you don't want to go after them, but you do want to go after those limiting patterns that you picked up along the way that no longer serve who you are, You're just a higher version of them.
And what you do want to go after, and what you do want to go after, what I have wanted to go after, is my liberation, my freedom, my forgiveness, my compassion, right? And that's what's really on the other side of the work that we're doing.
We had one young lady that we worked with, just a beautiful spirit, came in, and we could experience her in her pattern. And everyone that was part of the group, and we do this with groups of four and five and six people, and when your pattern is being witnessed by others, and then they compassionately and lovingly actually question it, they'll say, am I with you, you know, the highest version of you, or am I talking to your pattern? Like, it, you can really start to break the spell because so many times it's pattern talking to pattern. You know, when people aren't talking to each other.
Right. Yeah. And it was really, yeah. I'm imagining one person that certainly fits the description that you're sharing here. And I remember in an exchange where we would end up in that kind of query around where the pattern shows up and when it shows up, there is an unconsciousness that becomes apparent, that certainly became apparent to you and I, when the pattern engaged. And then, like, even the face looked different, eyes looked different. There's, like, an entirely different expression.
Right.
Because for most
right.
of us, that pattern really is unconscious. It's where we go unconscious. And to be
right.
witnessed, you know, in the way that we're witnessing inside this work, oh, it looks as if you've gone unconscious right there. Is that the pattern? And to really be able to start to leave a trail for yourself, that's really the beginning of a change,
yeah.
right? When you can
yeah.
actually see, oh, my God, that is where it starts. The pattern begins, you know, like a tripwire.
Right. And this one particular person we will work with, the mechanism was competency. And almost a know-it-all place that they would come from. And so when they got into conversation, they would push people away. We call it the wall builder. They'd build the wall by being overly competent, overly knowing. And we could literally, as a group, we would just watch and just, and we lovingly could say, you know, our experience right now is that I'm not listening to anything you're saying. You're talking over everything that's occurring in this conversation right now. And I'm wondering, who am I talking to? And in that moment, the person can go, oh my God, that is what I do out in the world. It's like, it's how I show up when
right.
I'm here or when I'm not feeling good enough or when I'm feeling pressured or when I'm not feeling authentic. And we like to say this, is that awareness creates its own momentum. You almost don't have to do much, but just be aware of it. And then let's see what comes up. Let's see who appears after the wall goes down. And what we saw was like these beautiful, loving, extraordinary human beings who really just wanted to say, I don't know. Like, I don't know, and I don't want to tell you I don't know.
Right, that was the beginning. That was truly the beginning in that case,
is that
I don't know. And, you know, one of the things that I love so much about this Next Highest Version work is the variety of ways and approaches to disconnect that old unconscious pattern, you know, through an emotional journey, through a psychological journey, through a physical journey, you know, through an energetic journey, through a spiritual journey. There's so many, you know, roads in that we're taking in so many different ways that it's really next to impossible to not be able to make contact with that pattern and alter it forever.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's the range that you and I bring to it. Because we work with such small groups. Now, if you get a group of 8, 10, 12, 15 people, you have to pretty systematize it and organize it for the safety of everybody. And we've done that with bigger groups. But what we've noticed in the smaller groups, you know, when we're working with 4, 5, 6 people, what you and I can do is have this big toolkit of all these amazing tools that you and I have learned over the years. You know, everything from improv to anger work, to dancing, to singing, to grunting, to just
gestalt.
Stillness, meditation, breath, gestalt. And I mean, I could go on for a week about all these different tools we could pull out. And you could do that when you have a small group of people, because what we're looking for, Michelle and I are, is what's the path in? What's going to give us the best opportunity for you to have a breakthrough and have this experience of witnessing your next highest version, whatever that is. And the beautiful thing is if you're one of the participants watching somebody get this one-on-one work, because that's how we work. We work one-on-one with people, and everyone witnesses. And it's so like you're witnessing four or five people go through their work, and you're watching us do it completely different each time with each person, and you're going, oh my God, every time I witness this, I'm having another breakthrough. I think that that's, what's your thoughts on the whole experience of witnessing, you know?
Oh, well, it's funny because that's exactly what I was thinking about. And so the witnessing itself is so profoundly healing. And I know that was the conversation you and I had at the beginning of launching this program, that we wanted to keep these groups intimate enough so that we could really have that degree of witnessing where there is no place to hide. And it's so easy to hide. Honestly, I am particularly good at it. I can go to workshops and events and I can appear like I'm really there and doing the work, but I am a master at hiding so that I don't necessarily have to do my deeper work. So I understand it, and it is not really possible in this environment, and that's really great news. And the other part about witnessing each other is that I have not found yet one person's work that didn't resonate for me. Every
me too.
Person's pattern that's shown up, I'm like, oh, man, I got that. I got that to one degree or another. That's mine, too. So witnessing somebody else's work in it is always, always shifts and changes me. I mean, this is the big possibly secret that doing this kind of work as a coach, as a guide, as a mentor, I always feel like I'm the biggest benefactor of it because I'm doing my own personal work through that witnessing, observing, understanding, and increasing my own awareness through somebody else's work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the compassion, and that's what we call our ranch, Compassion Ranch, is the creating the space so people can be witnessed. And there's a lot of compassion in witnessing other people. And it starts with a level of deep, deep listening, like really being present for what another person is saying. And a lot of healing occurs in simply listening. And like when you think about it, even as we conduct these small groups, you know, I've sat with this. I would like to be a participant at my workshop. Nobody's ever offered me to stay in their home where I want to hide, but it's not available. I want to show up. I really do want to show up, but but a part of the old version of me wants to hide. And I can go into a landmark event, and I love landmarks work, but I could be in a room with 250 people, and I could put on the unauthentic me and get by really well the whole weekend and get great content, but not a shift occur for me. Like at a deep, what we're experiencing, like deep, profound, lasting shift. And I think that that's what people are after is that the significant change, serious change, not more understanding of who they are, but okay, I know who I am. Let's make this change now, please. You know, and it does happen.
Yeah.
It does happen. So. So what do we say to a person who is listening right now that absolutely has done even no work at all? Like we've got a young man that's coming in to work with us in next week that has done very little work. And so we're going to begin the process of helping him start a journey inward. And then there's people who have come in and have done lots of work that are going, hey, you know what? Just take another layer of this onion off. So like maybe talk to the person who has not done much work.
First of all, I get super excited about that idea because, you know, when you talk about awareness creates its own momentum, I feel like the person who has done very little work, that this creates a monumental life-changing opportunity to start that level of introspection and awareness. That's a real life changer.
Well, particularly because the improvement, if we call it, not a better word for it, than, you know, the change, it can be so significant. And then as you do more work, the change becomes more subtle. But the beginning of the process is like going from drinking to getting sober. Oh, my God, this life changed when I stopped drinking. Now, when you're not drinking for 20 years, the change is more, it's how I relate to people. It's how I show up. It's how I communicate to myself. It's how I am. And then, like, the change is much more subtle. But the beginning, so if you're listening, you're like beginning to do deeper pattern work, you'll see some rapid and profound change in your life immediately. And then if you've been doing a lot of work, I mean, that's exciting too, because now you get to take even deeper cut at it. And that's where it really requires like a really sacred space and really good facilitation for somebody to help you, you know, dig in deeper.
Yeah, I think about, you know, for people who are doing the work maybe for the first time, that it's learning how to really think different, how to, you know, question your beliefs at the most fundamental level, you know, mm-hmm. how to make very different choices. It's just a massive turn. And the people who have done a lot of work, I mean, I know for myself now when I make these subtle shifts, they have a profound impact on my level, my degree of peace and harmony and happiness. You know, because now the refinements, as you continue to do the deeper personal work, you know, it's maybe going from a level of unconsciousness to consciousness or suffering to some degree of stability, you know, but when you get up into the higher frequencies of change, you know, to go from, you know, being like pretty darn good to like seriously living in harmony, and experiencing a lot of self-love and ease, you know, it's a profound experience, you know, to start reaching those higher levels of peace and harmony and bliss and happiness and joy and, you know, having that be pretty much the primary experience.
Yeah, just the way of being. You know, one of the things that comes up for me as you're speaking now is in the unfolding of our training and the way things have unfolded is the more work that we do, the more we trust the unfolding of the unknown. That where at a certain point in my life, everything had to be very, very prepared, regimented, you know, like outlined and disciplined. And it worked really well. And it was part of the pattern of looking good. Like it could make any mistakes. It was more how I was being perceived versus more what you were getting. And that really does work, and I honed that really well. And over time, the more that shift occurred, the more it was I trust in the infinite unknown and, you know, the my source of infinite power, my connection to God or to the universe, I would call it God, like that the perfect words, the perfect way of being will show up inside that moment, in that space, if I'm not connected to looking good or, you know, thinking about, you know, how does this sound? Does that fit for you? Like trying to see if it's the right thing.
Yeah, getting their acceptance.
And I think there's a lot of people who are at that level is that they're approaching the world looking for the acceptance and then crafting their life and their way of being to be received in a way, as opposed to evolving to the point where that doesn't really matter. What you trust is what you're giving to the world is the best gift that you have, and it's perfect in its form that is being delivered in this moment.
Amen. 1,000 times for our own journey to arrive at this place where I feel like the work that we do now is so much more impactful, so much deeper, so much more relevant and meaningful. And joyful and fun. Yes. And you're like, the process of it is too. And I think about even the work that we're doing with the next highest version, the deepest, most meaningful, introspective, impactful work ever. And probably we have never laughed more in the work that we do.
Right?
I mean, it sounds like it's such serious work, but we will laugh, we will cry, you know, everything.
Because it does. When you're doing that work, the range of emotion, you get to experience the full palette of life. Right? It's all in the human experience. And some of us got locked into being way too serious, or some of us got locked into not taking things too serious, you know.
It's
finding that range where you can play the full dance the whole floor, not just your little corner.
Yes. And, you know, the other thought that I had when you were saying that is that I know when I first was doing the next highest version work with you years ago, I was so concerned about finding the pattern. You know, it's like, I got to get it right. You know, I just got to get it right. And I'm not sure I know. And how would I know? How much that really does not become an issue at all in the way that we do the work and in the trusting of the unfolding, that it always is right there. It unfolds and it always does, and it always becomes completely apparent and relevant to everybody. So I wanted to say that out loud because I'm sure I'm not the only one that has obsessions like that.
Right. Yes. Am I guaranteed to find my pattern?
The real one, you know, not the fake one, because I can fake everybody out.
Yeah, well, you haven't been with us yet, Faker. Come on over here. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about some of the logistics of it. We meet for an evening before we start the event. We have a beautiful dinner, and at the dinner, we like to say the process begins at the meal, like our first meal, we begin the process. Anything you want to say about that, or do you maybe we'll just...
I was just thinking the process actually begins when once you're fully enrolled and you receive the questions. I'm just getting in the questions from the group that we're going to be doing here soon and looking at the work that people did in answer to those questions. And those questions really do begin the deep dive into your own world, your own history, your relationship with key members of your family dynamic and all the aspects of your life. And the questions on their own really start you. And then of course the dinner, which is delicious and whimsical, and there's a certain amount of destiny that's involved, right, in the unfolding of that dinner and the conversations that unfold. But it's a very meaningful conversation. We'll sit at the table with each other for hours, and you will go to bed with already a heart full, a mind full of introspection, the beginning of insight, and a readiness.
Yeah, and you'll be staying here at my home, and we've set it up where we've got two guest bedrooms, male, female rooms, and beautiful, comfortable feather beds. You'll get your great night's sleep. And sometimes we have
air
to bring in a third bed,
which are also comfortable. Yeah.
Sometimes we bring in a third bed if necessary, and you'll have a home. You know, and what was real important when we designed this is that we wanted to create a space that was very safe, a safe home. You know, for all of us to feel like we're really grounded. Versus into a hotel room where there's still an energy that is disconnected from us. But we want to create this a home, a place that you feel grounded and safe to be and to let it all go, like let it all hang out. And so you'll get a great night's sleep, and then you'll come out to the yurt. We've built this beautiful Mongolian yurt that sits on an extraordinary piece of property that is just a world-class retreat facility, and you'll enter into the yurt, and that's where life begins, is in the yurt. And I think if you've never done work in a circle, there's something very profound about being in the round, where everybody is connected to each other through not only eye contact, but also through like physical proximity. As opposed to everyone's the same distance from everything when you're in a circle, versus when you're in sitting in chairs, there's somebody furthest away, you know, and there's somebody the closest. So
yeah,
I feel so affected
by that yurt. I physically feel affected by being inside that yurt. I feel opened by it. I feel literally, I feel energy in parts of my body that I don't always feel, that are like humming. It has a physical impact on me.
Yeah. And that's what our intention was in the design of this, is we have 2 days of solid work in the yurt. And Michelle and I both have been through enough workshops, and I have done enough training, and have done enough mountain climbing, and been to the shamans, and we have done all of the esoteric work and deep spiritual work. I've spent time in India in ashrams, and I've spent time on the floor crying, and I've spent time in the fetal position, and I've also spent time climbing the mountains of Nepal and in search of something. And what I realized is that we have 2 days, you know, 2 days. And what we wanted to discover was, you know, what was the maximum amount of impact we could have on the human condition in 2 days. And Michelle, we've done it. We've cracked the code on that. And I'm very proud of that.
I know. I am too. Yeah. I am too. Yeah. We had an experience ourselves the first time we delivered this, and we looked at each other with tears in our eyes, just like humbled, honestly humbled by the amount of impact we were able to create in such a short amount of time. 2 full days, and I guess Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 full nights. And we do work into the evening. And also, I really want to address what you're saying about being on the property. It's very retreat-like. You know, we have outdoor fires, and we have early morning meditation. We have, and they're optional. We have early morning workouts, which are also optional. So there's really, you know, there's a delicious coffee machine. The food we serve is wholesome, whole, organic. It's prepared on the spot, fresh for each meal, lunch and dinner. It is fully a retreat. It's quiet. It's woodsy. It is restorative in every aspect, you know, emotionally, physically, spiritually, psychologically.
And the beautiful thing is that, you know, for all of your lodgings, extraordinary meals cooked by Emily, who is our personal chef for the experience. I mean, an amazing food. And then Michelle and I, the two talented facilitators who will walk you through this entire process, plus the connections with the other people, you know, to give yourself that gift. You know, because it really is. I love what one of our participants said that graduated recently, said, you know, this might have been the best gift I've ever given myself. And I had to agree. I said, you know, like, it is giving this to yourself. You are worth it. I think this is out of a pure labor of love and respect for the human condition, knowing that we're all born into a pattern, and that I was given a gift of doing this work with many different people. And it's just like, just called to share it with more people. And then Michelle and I partnering up on this, you know, I don't want to spend my time any other place. So it's a win for everybody, you know?
And I also, you know, what's been really interesting to me is I know people have come in for different reasons. Yes. And what's been really remarkable to me is that regardless of what reason somebody might have come in for, like they needed to make, they were hoping that the shift would affect their work or their business, right. or they were hoping the shift might affect, you know, some other aspect, their wellness. What's occurring is truly a surprise, you know, because people are leaving with a fresh new commitment to their loved ones, to their children, mm-hmm. to their spouses, to their families, to their work, to their teams, to, I mean, just in every way, the things that are getting unlocked and opened and shifting inside these patterns uplifting is whole life. It has an effect on the whole life. I don't think it could happen any other way given the nature of the work that we're doing. So there are so many surprises to come out of it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what we would love you to do is just enter into it, not with a goal, but enter in with an open heart that you're here to experience a version of yourself that you've never met before. Not one that you want to meet, but one that you're not familiar with. Something that is bigger than you could ever imagine. And that's what we've noticed with all of the people come through when they say in their recap, they say, you know, what I received is so much more than I ever would have allowed myself to have if I would have set a goal for this. And so my encouragement is hold it loosely, but get at it quickly. So all you need to do is, Michelle, they could email you at MichelleZ at BiRefralOnly.com?
How about the NHB Michelle?
Oh, okay.
At Gmail, right? So NHB stands for Next Highest Version. So NHB Michelle, which is spelled unusually, it's like the word me and the word shell, like a seashell, MESHELL, at gmail.com.
And then what you'd say in that email is that I would give me a current schedule, let me know when your next one is, and then we'll send that out to you, and perhaps we may have a conversation with Michelle, or we may send you over to a website. It just take the next step and email Michelle and say, hey, Michelle, this is where I'm at, and this is what I'm
right.
would like to experience, or whatever's next, and whatever that is for you. We just hope.
Yeah,
I just
don't waste any more time.
Don't waste any more time. Like, life is short. Get on the next version of yourself, especially if you haven't done any work. Get some work done now, kid. You know, like it's not going to get any easier. I heard that notion somebody once said to me. I love the words. You know, whatever you continue to do, what you continue to do, you'll continue to get what you already got. I thought, I don't know if that's true or not. I think if you continue to do what you've always done, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
And I always,
it's not going to be just,
I also like it when you put the context around it, like if you're, to whatever degree you're suffering right now or feel limited or stuck, imagine feeling that way or worse in a year from now, five years from now.
Yeah.
You know, the same or worse. Oh, that makes me feel nauseous.
Well, whatever pattern we hold on to or judge about ourselves, and if you have a pattern, you're judging yourself. You go, oh, there I go again. I did it again. I can't believe it. Here I am again. And whatever we judge, we deepen. And so can you imagine another day of deepening this pattern? You know, like, it may be time just to say, okay, I'm going to get to 55 questions. Through those questions, I'm going to come up to Compassion Ranch up in Sonoma County. I'm going to spend 3 days, or actually 4 days with one night. No, it's 3 nights with us and half a day on Sunday. And I'm going to just find out who the next version of myself is and make that contribution to the world, make that contribution to the world. I'm excited to meet all of you who are listening right now. And I want to thank you for taking the time. Michelle, as always, you're amazing.
Thank you. And you as well, Joe.
Okay, sweetie. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you later, okay?
Bye.